In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are now commenting on the book of Revelation, chapter 1, starting from verse 15. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice had the sound of many waters. And we said that the many waters are the work of the Holy Spirit inside the hearts of men, so he speaks life, because the words given by Christ is like the water needed for the spiritual life and the eternal life. He had in his right hand seven stars. So he hold the angels, he hold his people in his hand. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's why St. Paul said it in the book of Hebrews, that his word like a sword, two-edged sword, because this stands for the idea of discernment. You know, his word is clear and straightforward, and it will make the people on two sides, people on the left, people on the right. If you follow the word of God, if you obey his commandments, now you are on the right side. If you disregard the word of God, you are on the left side. So the words coming out of his mouth like a two-edged sword, also it pierced the hearts of men to help them to repent, to cry out for mercy. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength, because he is totally divine. So it's like the light, the real light, coming out of him to shine over all human race. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, you know, that's exactly what happened with Isaiah, with Jeremiah, with Ezekiel and other prophets, because they cannot stand the presence of God, the glory of God. So when they fell down on their knees, God touched them with his grace. So the grace of God will put you standing before his glory. We cannot stand before him without his grace, because we are sinners. We cannot see him by our eyes, because we are dead people. But out of his grace, out of his mercy, we can look up to see him. So because of his touch, this touch of Christ, let Father John stood before him and could listen to his word. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. Again, speaking about his divine nature and telling John, do not be afraid. I'm the source of life. I'm giving everyone life by his touch. He created man with his hand, with his touch. And when corruption entered this world, death entered our race, he came to touch us again by incarnation through the sacrament of baptism and the Myron. Now we are touched again by the hand of God to be born again of heaven, to have this new life forever. Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm he who lives and was dead. So saying, I'm he, the first and the last, I was dead, meaning that because of his flesh, because he had our human nature, he died with his will. He offered his life because of us. But you know, death cannot conquer him, because he is the source of life. Because of his divinity, he can overcome death, not for himself, but for everyone sharing his flesh. I'm he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever. Alive forever stands again for his divinity, although being dead stands for his human nature, living forever stands for divine nature. He is one out of two natures, united together in one person. And was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So the keys of judgment, the keys of Hades, not in the hands of the devil. It's in the hand of the Almighty God. God who loved us, God who came to save us. So when we follow Him, we name His name, cry out for His mercy. When we stick to Him through the Holy Spirit sacraments, now we are following Him. He will open for us the gate of heaven, and He will close before our eyes the gates of Hades. He had the gates of the keys of Hades and death. Right. The things which you have seen. So another commandment, write whatever you see. The things which you have seen and the things which are. So you will see many visions. That's why we consider the book of Revelation. It's not like one vision. It's a series of visions, and these many visions make the book of Revelation. He will see many, many things in his age and in the coming ages, and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The angels of the churches are the bishops, are the leaders of the churches. So they are in the hand of God. That's a very nice promise given by Christ. Like we, the servants of the church, we are in His right hand. He is moving the church through us, by us. He is making use of our weaknesses. His power works in our weaknesses, but we are in His right hand. That's a promise of God, being into His body, being in the sound face, sticking to Him, being humble enough to allow His grace to work inside us. He will move the church the way He likes by His people. And also the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So He is caring for the churches. The lampstands stand for the churches. So the church is the pillar of light, because that's the word given by St. Paul when he spoke about the church, the pillar of truth. So the place of shining the light of God should be the church. The church revealed the secret of God, revealed the truth to everyone. So the light of God comes out of the lampstand, comes out of the church, guided by the Holy Spirit and holded by the hand of the Lord Himself. Chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So now he will say a message to each and every one of the seven churches. And like delivering the needed message to every bishop of these churches, he started by showing himself, the Lord Himself, with some character needed by His servant. Because sometimes we, the people of God, need to see Him as the King. Other times we need to look up to Him as the crucified Savior. And another time we need to understand His fiery eyes. We need to look to the sword coming out of His mouth. We need to meditate on His beholding us in our hands. So He will, focus on one of the picture or the sides of His picture to each of His servants. He who holds the seven stars in His right hand. He started by this, holding the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstand. And these two were telling everyone, beware, God is watching you, and do not be afraid, because you are in His hand and He is inside your church. He is controlling everything, so do not be afraid. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they are not, and have found them liars. So before telling anyone the exact commandment needed or the advice, you know, he wanted to encourage his man. So he mentioned the good side of this bishop. He said to him, I know your patience, your labor, I know all your works, your services, and I know that you cannot bear those who lie saying that they are apostles and they are not, so you are suffering from false teaching. So I can see all these positives. Labor, patience, services, and fight with the false prophets. I know all these. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So again, he is mentioning the long service of this man, and some of the old fathers of the church believe that he's speaking to Timothy. Remember Timothy, the disciple of St. Paul. St. Paul now became a martyr long ago, but his son Timothy was still the bishop of Ephesus. And now he is like in his 50 years old. He started being a bishop in his 20. So these words were given by St. John the Evangelist to Timothy, the bishop of Ephesus. He is recalling all his services, his labor, and have found and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. These all positive things, nevertheless. I have this against you. So after encouraging him with many good things, he is warning him. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So although we serve in God, but still God wants us with the first love, with the first fire in our in heart. When we start serving God, we feel like the passion of Christ. We want everyone to know Christ. We like everyone to be saved. We run here and there to save souls. But after many years, we may do the service without the old passion, without the hot heart we had before. So he is blaming him for this. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. So it's kind of a falling down. When you lose the first love, now you are in a sinful state. Although you're still serving God, you are laboring for God, you have many good things to do, but you should go back to your first love. Because if you lose this first love, you will be taken away from God day after day. So this angel of Ephesus, like having many good virtues, but still he lost one of the major virtues, the motive, the major motive of his service, which is the first love. He shouldn't let go. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. So maybe one of the sins, one of the love to something in this world attacked his heart. That's why it took part of his heart, so he lost the first love. Repent and do the first works. So he was doing better than this. In his early days, he had like the first works. So he worked the service from all his heart. He had a purer heart and the first works better than the last works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. So it's a serious condition. Although you are laboring in the service, you are doing good with the false teaching, you are standing again at them, But wait a minute, you lost your first love, you lost your first works, you are not as strong as in heart like before, so take care. Your lampstand may be shaken, your church may be shaken because you lost the power of the love. This means that all services are considered by the eyes of God, not in itself, but with the love moving them. So God read the heart. God will not focus much on the achievements, but He focuses more on the heart behind these achievements. So we need to revise our life, our service. Sometimes we are happy achieving good in service. But what about the heart? Do you still have this love in your heart as strong as before? That's the major question. I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. There was a man called Nicolaus, one of the seven deacons started by Stephen himself. The seventh deacon, this one, you know, started to preach false teaching. And with the end of the first century, these teachings spread everywhere. So Timothy, being a good disciple to St. Paul, now good disciple to St. John, he kept the faith sound. He kept the orthodoxy. So he stood against the false teaching. That's why the Lord himself mentioned this virtue as a very good one. Although he blamed him for losing the passion, losing the first love, but still he recommended him so much for standing strong against this teaching of the seventh deacon, which called now here Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So put in mind that Christ himself hates the false teaching. We need to study the teaching, the sound teaching, the orthodox teaching of the early church, not to be deviated here or there or follow any false teachers. He who had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. As if saying, please listen carefully. Put your heart on whatever you listen. Because the words are very important. That's a serious message from Christ himself. Beware, it's not very good to have many services, but you have to have the early heart, the first works, the first love, the fire in your heart, and also keep it up, this strong attitude toward the false teaching. He who had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church, because the teaching will come through St. John, guided by the Holy Spirit. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. The promise given to the repentant bishop, repentant servant. If you go back to your first love, first works, if you repent from all your heart, if you regain this hot love in your heart, now you will enjoy having the tree of life. You all know the tree of life was mentioned in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, at the idea of life forever. That's why men could not eat from this tree of life. But in the New Testament, with the life given in the Eucharist, now we will enjoy eternal life. And this means that when we have the communion, we are having the eternity inside our hearts, and you will be blessed by this promise if you repent. So repentance is always needed before the communion. I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God, meaning that you will be with me in the paradise of God. Glory to God forever. Amen.